Sweep the leg.
Sweep the leg, that's right. No, don't sweep the leg, crane. People from the 80s have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
Some people skipped the 80s, I think. They had a couple of 70s and went straight to the 90s. I want to introduce you to Nathan. Most of you know Nathan is our worship pastor. I want him to share about something that God really placed on his heart. Really cool deal, because God placed it on his heart. When he did, he had no idea what to do with it. It's not something that he is used to doing. He didn't have any experience with it at all, but God just kind of has brought it all together, and so I'm going to let him share. Go ahead, man.
How y'all doing today? Doing all right? Good, good. About 2 years ago, God put something on my heart, and I just started doing it last month, so my response time is sweet. So all of that aside, anyway, it's happening. And so what I want to introduce you today is called the Eden Project. And what that is, if you've noticed, there's a little tiny garden planted right outside our church. Everybody seen that? Or some people seen that? When you walk in. If not, then go check it out. There's a little garden out there. And so where this all came from is that about 2 years ago, I got convicted about not doing anything, just coming to church and leading worship and going home and feeling like I'd done something. But really, God has called us. The Bible calls us to be like Jesus, and Jesus helped people. Literally, with his own hands, did things. And some of the functions of the church are to take care of widows and to feed the hungry. And so literally with that garden, what we're doing is we're going to try to feed the hungry people in this community. And you say, really, hungry people in this community? There are. I've talked to them, or I've heard from them. We get no telling how many calls a week saying things like, we don't have any food. It doesn't really matter if we eat, but my kids are hungry. And I can't stand that that's happening outside our door. That's happening to our neighbors. And so we want to put an end to that. Amen? So what we're doing is we've got this garden, and it's small this year, but it will grow, and next year it will be very large, and you won't be able to miss it. And what we're going to do is we're going to start canning food, and we're going to try to stock our food pantry. I'm sure some of you didn't really even know that there was a food pantry here, but that's where we give people food. And so we're going to try to start doing that more and stocking that with stuff. And we encourage you, if you've got your own garden, then go ahead and any excess that you have, bring to us, because we will use it and we will put it to good use. And I'll just say this. I planted my own garden this year. I know nothing, absolutely nothing about gardening. I am the most ridiculous gardener ever. You might see me with chainsaws. I destroy things. I don't grow them. So I'm just not attuned to that. But you can do this. I did it this year. It is not hard. So we're even going to encourage you to take the next step next year. Grow your own gardens. Grow your own food. It'll be good for you and your family. You'll save a lot of money. Plus, you could help out a lot of people. So we're just trying to fulfill the greatest commandment here, and that's to love people, and we're going to feed them. So if you want to join me in that effort, please come talk to me. We'll find out more info about the Eden Project, and we'll go from there. Thank you all for letting me talk this morning.
Looking at doing a couple of... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. One more thing. Sorry, I was going to forget this. Next Sunday night, Sunday, if you could, come to church.
Monster Jam.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm going to play all the Van Halen licks I know, so if y'all want to come and check that out. We're going to have a night of worship on Sunday night. We're probably going to start around 6 o'clock, 6:30, somewhere around in there. We would love for y'all to come, and we're going to put a huge emphasis on this. We're going to try to stock our food pantry with vegetables now, because we're running out of food to give to people. So if you can, bring a couple of cans of food for a mission, and we'll stock that mama out, and we'll have a great night together just worshiping God together. So thank you, guys.
Canned food next Sunday night. You can also bring like baby items, wipes, diapers, formula, things like that, because we're running into a ton of that stuff. And that's what next Sunday night's all about, is just people bringing stuff together and us coming together and hanging out and worshiping, and we'll hang out and probably be stupid and stuff too. So come check that out. The video that we showed a few minutes ago was promoting Jive. Very fitting for this morning with what we're talking about this morning. But Jive is a big neighborhood community deal that we do every year. And this year, we're kind of changing it up. If you've been years past, it's been like an all-day long block party kind of thing we've done down here at the red light right in the middle of Pleasant View. And this year, we wanted to change it up. And we said, what would it be like if we went into people's neighborhoods and, you know, at people's houses that, you know, are part of our church or whatever, and just basically put up like miniature block parties and encouraged community between neighbors. A lot of people always say, hey, I don't know my neighbors. I'd like to know my neighbors. And we said, you know, why don't we give them the opportunity? Let's give the excuse for people to get to know each other. And honestly, it'd just be really all about just people getting to come together and hang out and just showing people that we love them. Honestly, it's not like a, hey, we're 24 Church and we want you to come to our church. I mean, you know, you can love on people and obviously people will know that the church is doing it, but it's not for promotion of our church. It's for promotion of loving others. And so that's happening here in a couple weeks, and those are called Night Lights. Those are on Friday night, June the 19th. That's only 2 weeks away. And the sign-up stuff for that is on the wall out there. By the way, if you've told your leader you're going to be on their team or whatever, please go ahead and sign up on the wall. We've got some teams that really need some workers. In fact, we've got some teams that have done really well at getting workers. In fact, we could probably use their help, maybe helping get workers for some of the other teams, and that would be awesome if you guys would be willing to do that. And so that's all going down. And then on Saturday night, we'll be doing a big movie night, and I mean huge, big screen with the speakers and the whole thing out there in the middle of the field down here at the red light, just free to the community. And we'll be showing Kung Fu Panda. You saw the preview for that, and that's the whole reason for the hi-ya. So that's what's going on with that. And we'll actually be having neighborhood competitions there before the movie as well. So Chapel Hill rules, by the way. We've been promoting the trash talk between neighborhoods. So that's really the utmost important thing, right? This morning we're talking about dirt. So we've got our punch bowls up here, and we're going to be talking about dirt. So I hope that you came really wanting to hear about dirt this morning, because that's where we're headed. Let's just take a second. Let's just pray and ask God to speak through His Word and use me despite my idiocracy. God, thank you so much for letting us get to be here. God, I pray, Lord, that this is all for your glory. It's not for ours. It's not for any one person's. God, it is for you. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts about that. God, I pray, Lord, that you would show us how to be humble. I pray that we would put others before us, that we would put you first. God, we love you. And God, I pray, Lord, that our lives would really show it and we wouldn't just talk about it. God, thank you for this opportunity this morning that we have to study your word and to think on these things. Lord, may it be glorifying to you. In your name I pray. Amen. This morning we are talking about harvesting. I hope that you're into harvesting. I'll be real honest with you. I'm not much of a farmer, kind of like Nathan was. Nathan's kind of gotten into this here lately. I grew up with my father gardening all the time. He grew up on a farm where they grew large crops and several hundred acre farm, and that's how they made a living. And my dad's a pastor, by the way, if you didn't know. And growing up with my dad has always had gardens, and I love to eat the food. But I'm not big on like, hey, let's go, you know, dig up some, you know, dirt and, you know, plant things and have to tend to them all the time and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know if it's just kind of from some of the, you know, like growing up and having to hang out at the garden because they wouldn't hire babysitters and, you know, you get tired of hanging at the garden all Saturday long and, you know, whatever it is. But whatever it was, I just kind of grew up going, you know, it's not really my thing, you know, give me a car and I want to play with that. And so my dad's still big gardener. I think this year he has out like, in one of his gardens, he has like 350 tomato plants. You know, I mean, he's insane with it. And he gives a lot of it away and, you know, cans a lot of it and puts it away and gives the majority of it away, honestly. That's just his heart. And it's cool. And it very much goes with what that's all about. Well, one of the things in growing up, one of the things that I did come to understand about a garden and about a farm is that you, when you're planting something, that you want to be careful about how you plant and where you plant and all of these things. In fact, you know, I talked to Dad this week about it, and I said, you know, I remember you talking about when I was a kid that on the farm growing up, you guys would rotate your crops. And he said, yeah, absolutely, we would rotate crops. I was like, well, tell me about that. Explain all that to me. Well, basically, because I didn't know, basically, the reason for rotating crops is this. Basically, every 3 years or 4 years, they would rotate where they would plant something. And on that farm at that time, you know, the big thing at that time was growing tobacco. And so they grew tons of tobacco and, you know, it's just what was going on at the time and made money for my family. And so They would grow it in, let's say, this field over here for 3 years, and then at the end of the 3 years, they would move that crop so that the next year, that on the fourth year, they would go put it somewhere else. And typically where they would put it would be somewhere where, you know, they had just been growing grass or, you know, growing alfalfa or whatever it may be. And so the whole process would be that during those years that they weren't growing tobacco or some other kind of crop in those other fields, they would still plow those fields. And in growing the grass in those fields, what they were doing is they were putting the grass back into the grounds, and they were loosening the ground to make it loose again, because over time what would happen is as they grow one crop in that area, it would suck the life out of that soil. It would suck all the nutrients that, you know, a crop would need and all of those things. And so, you know, they would give it a break, and over those years of growing grass in it and running cattle on it, and we all know what cattle leave behind, and, you know, all that stuff would work for the good of that land. And so then they'd plow it under every year still, and, you know, they were putting grass back into the ground and, you know, putting air back into the ground and nitrogen back into the ground and basically making the ground better again to grow something. And this morning, you know, and just kind of thinking on those things and thinking about soil, you know, I mean, you do. We have a couple different kinds of soil up here in our punch bowls. Very nice. In this one here, we have some really nice looking soil. We've got a little duct tape in here. It's always good for your soil. Not real sure what that's doing in here, but we've got that. You know, this is the kind of soil that we would want to throw away. This is the kind of soil that we wouldn't want to grow something in. It's had stuff grown in it in the past, and the things that have grown in this soil in the past have actually stripped it of the things that make it good for growing something. Well, then over here, you know, we've got the rich man soil. We've got you know, the potting soil. You know, we're such Americans at the point, you know, we're like, hey, let's throw out that soil and we'll go buy some soil, you know, that somebody else, you know, took and, you know, restored, if you will. And so then we have, you know, this very rich soil, which is great for planting and all that stuff. And so we've got potting soil and we've got the bad soil. And, you know, I think it's important for us to understand what's behind all this and to help us understand what Scripture is talking about when it talks about harvesting. And we've got like three different types of harvesting that we're touching on today. And truly, I found five, but we're hitting three today. And the three that we're hitting today, I'm just going to tell you, hit very close to home, especially on the heels of us doing the series that we did a few weeks ago called Certain and Being Certain and Understanding What It Means to Know Christ as Your Savior. On the heels of that and thinking about that, you know, this, what we're talking about today, is very personal in the understanding of where we are spiritually and how God is using us in the lives of others to draw them near to Him. Well, we all love fruit, right? You love fruit? If you don't love fruit, you're crazy. Fruit's great. I love fruit. I don't like vegetables, but I do love fruit. It's just one of those things. Maybe your kids like that. I typically eat like a kid, by the way. We've got fruit here this morning. You know, we want fruit, don't we? You know, and truth be known, for a lot of us, and this is me, I'm very much this way, you know, I don't want to fool with dirt and all this other stuff. I just want fruit. Just bring me the fruit. Leave the dirt alone. But there's a process that has to happen. And the process begins in our hearts. I want to read this passage of Scripture just very briefly in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. And it says this. It says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." Increase the harvest of your righteousness. What is that? What is the harvest of your righteousness this morning? The harvest of your righteousness is basically what's going on in your soul, what's really happening in your heart. You ever get to that point where in your Christian walk where you're just kind of like you hit the wall? You know what I'm talking about? And you're just like, well, you know, I'm just not really growing anymore. Not really getting anything out of it. You know, I've been going to church, not really getting anything out of it. There's some issues with that. And usually it has to do with the fact that we have become useless for the kingdom of God. Here's a cycle that I see. I see people that sometimes legitimately need to take breaks away from maybe serving or doing something in the church or just in general in their life. Maybe they've been giving to others at work. friends that are just needy, and we all have points where we just kind of have to go, okay, we've got to kind of bring it back here a little bit. But what happens is a lot of times is, once we kind of bring it back a little bit, we will just like give up altogether. I mean, we just like, I'm just doing away with it altogether. I don't want anything to do with it. And we don't think that at first. But as time goes on, what winds up happening is just easier to not do anything for the kingdom of God than it is to do something for the kingdom of God. And what happens is the soil, the harvest of our righteousness, the soil in our heart becomes like this soil. It's like all nasty and weedy and rocky and duct tapey. You like that, don't you? Cheatham County dirt right there. It really is. I'm not going to tell you where that dirt came from because she'd kill me. But she's Cheatham County girl. And I think, what we don't realize is that we get like this. And here's what we think. We think, well, no, I'm doing good, Chris. I'm doing good, God. I'm going to church. Going to church. My soil is getting rich. And man, is it good. And in all actuality, we are so fooled. Because, when we look at this, 2 Corinthians 9:10, it says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest in your righteousness." In other words, what it's saying is that we, as sowers, when we sow, God will continue to sow in us. When we give up on the work of the kingdom of God, we cease to have God working and enriching in our soil. And we're going to church and we're thinking we're getting this. And truth be known, is we got a little bit of this going on. He said, Chris, how do you know? Do you really want to know? This is how I know. Matthew 7:16 says, "By their fruit you will recognize them." Are you bearing fruit for the kingdom of God? I didn't ask you if you were serving at church. I didn't ask you what your church attendance looks like. I didn't even ask you if you were spending time in God's word. You need to be doing those things. Those are important things to, as a part of being a Christian and growing in your relationship with the Lord. But are you bearing fruit for the kingdom of God? I didn't ask if you were doing good things. Are you bearing fruit for the kingdom of God? You see, the very first harvest here is the harvest that happens within our soul. And the truth is we're one or the other of this today. Soil is such an awesome thing in of itself. In fact, I want to just kind of just give you a little bit on the soil thing. Soil is organic matter. It's usually rotted stuff where things have died and turned into dirt. There's some things that are living in soil, some things that are dead. Obviously it can get bad, it can be stripped of its things, but at the same time, it in of itself, although a lot of it is made from things that have died, produces life. That's where things grow. One of the things that Dad told me about soil is that a lot of times if they didn't rotate the crops, that the dirt would actually get a disease. Where when you grew something in it, it would absolutely ruin whatever that crop was, whatever that fruit was. And I think for so many of us, we've so gotten into this mindset that it's really all about us. We're just like, oh yeah, I'm going to church because I'm going to get something out of it. I wonder what they're going to do today to speak to me. It's not about that. It's never about that. Yeah, there's moments where God is going to speak to our hearts, and that's going to happen. And that's going to happen from us coming and worshiping Him, spending time in His Word and worshiping through God's Word. You know, by the way, preaching and teaching is part of worship. It is worship. It's not about us. It's not for the glory of our church. It's not to make 24 church famous. It's not to make any pastors famous. It is to make God famous. That's why we come together. And we get into this thing where we think, you know, it's all about us. And what winds up happening is we think that we're going to church so that we're, you know, getting to turn into this. But truth is we're still over here because we are not bearing any fruit for the kingdom of God. The reason we're not bearing any fruit is because we've been stripped of our nutrients. We are refusing to act out what we say we believe. That's real. And you know, and I know that everybody in here that's a Christian, I know that you believe this. I know that you agree with it. I know that in your heart you're going, oh yeah, yeah, man, I'm right on with that. I am right on with that. The truth is we just don't always follow through. Humility is a hard thing. Let me even kind of, I want to give you this. The word humility is derived from the Latin word humilis, which is translated not only as humble, but also alternatively as low or from the earth. From the earth. I want to ask you a question. Are you willing to be dirt? Are you willing to bring yourself down to a place where only God could be lifted up because you could be brought down? Are you at a place in your life where you put others before you? Or do you say, oh, no, that, you know, I'm not going to do that. I don't have time. They're too needy. In my line of work, people are always needing something. And that's part of what I do. That's part of my line of work is trying to show Christ to them. I have moments just like everybody else where I'm like, I don't want to do it. Our call is to put others before us and to put God first. Humility is a very hard thing to do. And it's so hard for us. You know, St. Augustine said this. It said, and this is the heart of, you know, us fighting against humility, by the way. He says this. It says, pride is the mother of all sin. Pride is the mother of all sin. You deal with pride? Deal with thinking, oh, you got it all together? Deal with thinking you're good enough? Deal with thinking, you know, all these things? Let me help you to understand something. If you don't think pride is an issue in your life, then it probably is. Most of us need a big old bite of humble pie. We can't do it alone. And let me tell you what ends up happening. Our thinking, even though we say we don't feel this way, our thinking becomes this. Our feeling like because we feel like it's all on us, which is a pride thing, we completely cut God out of the equation. And we say, you know what? I'm not going to talk to that person about Jesus because I don't know enough about the Bible. Or, you know, I'm not going to do that because, I'm not versed enough in Scripture. I've not been a Christian long enough, blah, 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 blah. And what we're basically saying is, you know what? I can't save them because I don't know enough. Let me, a little APB for you here. We can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. Not from hell. Might save them out of the lake. Only God saves. But He wants to use us to speak to their hearts. But we can't if we look like this. We are from the dirt. And God is calling us to be the dirt. Second harvest is this. The second harvest is planting seeds. How do you know? Well, I've got this passage of scripture here in the book of Luke. I want to read this to you. The book of Luke, chapter 10. Check this out. Verse 1, it says, now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, check this out, it's Christ talking right here. It says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest and send out laborers into his harvest. Let's just stop right there for a second. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And what Jesus is saying there is that, hey, I've already been doing a little harvesting out here. There's some people out here that I've been working in their hearts. But we need some workers to go ahead and, you know, would like to have some workers to go out and, you know, kind of cultivate those harvests and go out and begin to continue to sow in those crops and reap some crops. Jesus is already working in the hearts of people around us. And a lot of times we just completely throw that to the side and say, you know what? Hey, God might be working in their heart, but I still don't know enough. Let me just tell you something. You want to know what it takes to lead somebody to the Lord? God's love. God's love and his spirit speaking to their heart. We can't give them the Holy Spirit, but we can give them God's love. And for so many of us, we think it's about having, you know, all this knowledge or all this. I'm just here to tell you, God's love is strong enough to be able to overcome all those things and all those fears. If we would just take into effect that it is not up to us to save people. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. It goes on in verse 3 right here, and it says this. It says, go, behold, I send you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Hello. How about that? Let's all go play with the wolves today. And you know what? It's true. There are going to be moments along the way where we are. We're going to be in the midst of wolves. We're going to be in the midst of people that absolutely 100% disagree. And our inclination is going to be, you know what? I'm so afraid of that, Chris. I'm so afraid of you know, something happening that, you know, I'm just not going to say anything at all. And basically, we're just saying, God, I don't believe you can work in their heart strong enough or good enough to bring them to yourself. I know you're asking me to do something, but God, I'm just going to be disobedient to that, and I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to stay in sin, and I'm just going to do this. How hard is it for us to just love people? I mean, just love people. I mean, you know, like the job and nightlight stuff. That's all that is. Let's just go love on people. They know we're from 24 Church. We don't have to go beat them over the head with that. We're called to love people. If we love God, then we should love people. Jump over to the book of John. And in chapter 4 of the book of John, we have this in verse 35. It says, do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, again, it's Jesus. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that they are white for harvest. They're ready to be picked. Goes on, verse 36 says, already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. What's that saying? It's saying this. It's saying we won't always see this from what we plant. We won't always see this stuff from our soil. Saying, Chris, I want to see some fruit. I'm with you. We'd love to just skip this and just go right to fruit a lot of times. I know. But the truth is that we're called to go in and plant seeds in the soil. And the truth is what this scripture is saying is that there have been others that have gone before us, and they have gone and they have been planting seeds all this time. And those seeds have been growing, and God has been continuing to speak to their hearts, and hopefully even through some of us and through other people in their lives, God has continued to show them his love through other people. And in doing so, those seeds have been growing all this time, and we might have the opportunity to come along every once in a while and go, oh, hey, look at that. That's awesome. What we need to understand is that we are not fruit, we bear it. We're not fruit, we're not seeds, we're soil. Our job is to let God put seeds in us and for us to continue to put seeds in other people so that God can just continually speak to their heart and speak to their heart, and one day harvest will be reaped. Verse 36 says, already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal. And it's just talking about, you know, we are so into, you know, the collecting and the stuff and all the stuff of the world, that what we miss is that we're completely not, a lot of times, putting things away for the real life that is going to come. The real life that's going to come, when we're putting things away for that, is when we're doing God's work. We're reaping wages for that time. Verse 35, we go back to it. It says, do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white for harvest. They are ready to be picked. Say, Chris, I don't see any harvest in my life. I say, you're not looking. Say, Chris, I'm not comfortable talking to people. I've known people who are very introverted. We've got some in our church. We've got one guy in our church. I know this was a huge struggle for him. He really felt God calling him to even step out and try to take, you know, leadership and ministry and things here. And you know, I'll be honest with you, it was a real struggle. And I could see this in his soul and in his eyes that he really wanted to serve God. And you know what? One of the quietest people I've ever met in my life. He now lets God use him to do great things for God's kingdom. We tend to want to just sit back and relax. And what we don't realize is that we turn into something that's not ready to be used by God. Our first harvest is the harvest of our soul, the harvest of righteousness, that we could be made more like God, that in spending time with him, that we would become rich. But I'm just going to tell you, if you really spend time with God, you're not going to be satisfied with just sitting and doing nothing for the kingdom of God. Your heart is going to burn with a hole in it, wanting so badly to do something for the kingdom of God, your heart's going to weep for the lost. You're going to see the harvest. If you're spending time with God, if your soil is really rich, you're going to see the harvest. And your heart's going to break over it, and you're going to go, I want to do something about that. I didn't tell the first service this. I couldn't tell the first service this. Many of you know that I kind of piddle on the side and just kind of work on their old arcade games like Ms. Pac-Man and stuff like that. And just, we fix them and sell them, try to make a little, you know, extra moolah, as Uncle Rico would say. And I went this week to a guy's house. It's the second time I've really met this guy. And I have this thing that anytime I'm going to go, especially if I'm going to have to go and I'm going to have to work on their stuff, I've kind of made a pact with God that I'm going to try my best to really, number one, try to love these people. But I'm really going to kind of try to fish around without being, you know, too nosy or whatever, about just, you know, where they are with the Lord. And this Thursday night, I went to Mount Juliet. I went about almost an hour away from right here to this guy's house, and I worked on his machines. He had some machines there, and I went and worked on them. And while I was there, we talked, and he obviously was, you know, kind of asking. He got to where he was asking me questions. He was kind of interested in the whole, you know, me being a pastor thing and all that stuff. And I sent him an email couple nights ago on Friday night, just said, hey man, I hope the machines are still doing good. And by the way, I just want you to know that if you ever want to talk about anything, if you ever need anything, I'm just here for you. Just want you to know that I love you like God has loved me, and God's done some amazing things in my life, and I can tell that you're kind of interested in thinking about those things, and just know I'm here. I kept it simple. I didn't, you know, wasn't trying to attack him or anything. He sat right back there this morning. And I want you to understand something. I'm not trying to ask you anything, to do anything that I myself can't possibly be expected to do as well. Our hearts should break for those people that don't know Him. It should tear us up to see people that we know, because there's a third harvest. There's a third harvest in the book of Revelation, chapter 14. And I'm just reading two verses out of this because of time. But in chapter 14, verse 15, we have this. And this, again, this is end time stuff. This is, you know, stuff that is to come and whatnot. Verse 15, it says, another angel came. It's going to sound crazy at first, but just hang with me. Another angel came out of the temple crying out with a loud voice to him and said on the cloud, put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come because the harvest of the earth is ripe. There is going to be a harvest of this earth. And if we jump down to 19, we're going to see kind of a picture of something here. In verse 19, it says this, so the angel swung his sickle to the earth and gathered the clusters being people, by the way, clusters from the vine of the earth and threw them into the great winepress of the wrath of God. You say, Chris, man, I didn't realize we were going to talk about hell today. I wouldn't have shown up. I'm just here to tell you, if we don't tell people, then we don't love them. Because and I'll just tell you, I'm not teaching this to try to scare someone into thinking about making a decision for Christ. I'm teaching this because I've been called to love you. And the same goes for the people that God has placed in our lives, that we should love them so much that we wouldn't be afraid. I mean, let's just face it. If this is the life-saving message that we've got, if this is the best thing that we've got on earth, wouldn't we want to share it? Why wouldn't we want to tell people about it? Why would we be afraid? Why would we be afraid to tell them, man, my life is so much better this way? We don't have to be able to explain every bit of it. All we've got to do is love them and say, God changed me and He can change you. And if you ever want to talk about that, I'm here for you. Because again, the harvests are white, and it's not up to us to save people. It's up to God. And all He's done is said, hey, be faithful. Just go love people. Be faithful in that. And when we do that, He does great things. And He wants to do great things in the lives of our families and our friends. Because the truth is there's a wine press coming. There's a harvest coming. There's a harvest of the earth that one day when Jesus comes back, everyone will be sorted out. I'm preaching to myself this morning. I hope you see that. I usually am. And to end this morning, I just want to ask you the question, what does your dirt look like? Is it rich because you're spending time with God and you are just absolutely burning up with a passion for His kingdom? Or is it used up and tired? And you feel like it's all useless right now. Say, Chris, how do I get from there to here? You get from there to here by putting time into a relationship with your Lord and Savior, and not just talking about it, but doing it and getting in and digging deep and start letting Him put seeds into you. Because we are dirt. We are not fruit. But when we are faithful to God, and we allow Him to do those things, it is by His grace, it is by His unbelievable love and work in our life that He can take us who came from dirt and bear fruit. And I don't know about you this morning, but I don't want to live this life and look back and regret for the fruit that I didn't bear. God has called us to something that's real. It's not fake. It's not something we can just come and talk about on Sundays. This is the real deal to the life of a Christian. What's your dirt look like? What do your seeds that you're planting look like? What does the harvest that you're reaping look like? Because at the end of the day, if you love them, if you love your friends, if you love your family, if you love the people that you work with, like we've been called to love, then we, my friends, we would plant. And we would make sure that our soil is good. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you so much, Lord, for your word. And God, I thank you so much for what you're doing in the lives of so many people right now. God, I pray that we would be obedient to you. That we wouldn't be afraid to fulfill the call on our life to love other people, to plant seeds, to allow you to plant seeds in us. You would burn in our hearts for your kingdom, God, not for our church necessarily. You know, that may be a byproduct of it, not for the sake of our fame or our pride or our glory, but God, for yours. I pray, Lord, that it would all be about you and that that would be our motive. God, this morning there's people here that don't know you. I don't doubt that a bit. And God, I pray that you would speak to their heart and that you would tell them to just get up here in a minute and just go out and talk with someone about what it means to know you as their Savior. God, I pray, Lord, that we would be fruit-bearing Christians, not a bunch of fakes, not a bunch of people by name, but God, that people would see, that you, most importantly, would see that we want to live for you and for your kingdom. God, I just pray that this morning. God, use us. Use us in ministry as a part of the church. Use us in ministry in our jobs. Use us in ministry in our homes. God, use us. May we love them like you have loved us. May we go and plant. We love you. In your name I pray. Amen. If you would like to talk with someone about what it means to know Christ, on the other side of that wall in the hallway, we'll be out there later.